from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our Guillotine League, if you guys aren't familiar with that and you're new to the show and everything, we do a Cody and Gold Fantasy Football League, right? It's a fun format. So on our Facebook and Twitter channels, if you head over to those, you'll be able to check out how you can qualify today. We've got 10 spots left in that. We're also still doing the video stream. Nothing's changed there. Twitch, YouTube, soon to be Twitter again, Facebook. You can watch us there, get to know us as well, and hopefully throughout the next couple days. If you're someone that's brand new to the show, brand new to the station as well, just all I ask, right, give us a shot for a couple of days. If you've never listened to Sports Talk Radio, if you've never listened to us on Sports Talk Radio, give us a couple of days. I think you're going to like what you hear, and we're fired up.
I'd like a couple of weeks, personally.
New home, 96.5 The Fan, and obviously your home for Kansas City sports.
That's what matters the most. Your home of the Chiefs, your home of the Royals, your home of K-State, and your home of Missouri. We talked about that in the build-up to it. We're the home of all things Kansas City sports. We got them all. Got the whole crew. This Saturday, when the Chiefs take on their second preseason game, that'll be right here on 96.5 The Fan. Tomorrow, when the Royals start a new series, they're off today. That'll be on 96.5 The Fan. That'll all be right here because it's your central home for sports. We're, of course, as always, on now our social handles. You can find us. We're on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. We're still going to live stream the show. You can still find us on the Odyssey app. Just new handle, new phone numbers, new text line numbers, some of those things. 913-586-7965 is the new phone number and text line. So a couple of housekeeping things, but other than that, us. And if you're new to us, would you like to explain yourself? Like, this could be like the first day of school. Explain yourself, Alex, in like 10 words for the audience.
I think people will get to know us just throughout the show today and throughout the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. I don't think we don't need to go around the classroom like elementary school, although I know
use
there's a lot
word to describe yourself that starts with the same letter as your first name.
That's right. You go around like one unique fact. No, we're not going to do that. I think you'll get to know us throughout the show today and the next couple days and weeks ahead as well. One thing, though, that we are excited to finally, in the month of August, again, be continuing to talk about is the Royals. That's where I want to start today, because the Royals got a much needed win yesterday in Minneapolis. They already lost the season series. They already lost this series, but Cole Reagans went out there and did what you expect your ace of the staff to do. Cole Reagans looked like an ace, and let's be real, he's the real ace of the staff, despite how great Lugo's been across the entire year. But the last 2 weeks, on two Wednesdays in a row,
needed him.
When they were down two games in a series, yeah, against Boston and this time around against the Minnesota Twins, who did they hand the ball to? Their ace, Cole Reagans, and he gave them not only a quality start, but he was really sensational other than one pitch that led to a home run. He kept them in the game. The offense, their biggest star, Bobby Witt Jr., comes up with a home run as well. the pieces that they are going to continue to have to rely on if they make the playoffs stepped up. We were talking before the show, like, why do you still believe this team can get to the postseason? Why are you confident? Two players yesterday in particular that stepped up. Bobby Wood Jr. and Cole Reagans. Those are the two players. If you made me single out two players for why ultimately they hold on to a playoff spot, those are the two.
This goes back to, I don't remember what it was, a month ago. If you're new to the show, it might have been 2 weeks ago. We had answered the question about Dusty, who had said, if they had a playoff game one must win or game must win, who do you want on the mound? And you and I both said, I don't care who's pitching better. The answer is still Cole Reagans. He has made that very clear. They have desperately needed him 2 weeks in a row, three series in a row, to get a win when Lugo and Singer have both been struggling in their last two, three, four starts. And every time Reagans has not just answered the call, he shoved. I mean, he put it on him. He gave him every chance to win. It was a no sweat. Yesterday was not a game where you were like, oh, I hope, other than maybe they missed some opportunities with runners on base. But if Cole Reagans is going to go seven, then guess what? I got to go straight to Long or Urseg or all the names I feel confident in the bullpen to go there. It's the single biggest reason why I refuse to let people drag me into the, are the Royals going to be a postseason team? Look at them falling apart. Because yesterday, I had people like, are you going to tell me the Twins are better now? Not going to the playoffs. And now, where we are again. Today, they have a two-game lead on a wild card spot, three games on the team behind that. They're a game and a half behind the Twins. Yeah, they're still kind of a long shot to the division, as they were 2 days ago. But they are still comfortably in a playoff spot as of right now, because Cole Reagans and Bobby Wood Jr. exist. Bobby Wood Jr. hit the StatCast era exists since 2008. So it's not the history of baseball, but since 2008, nobody has hit a fastball that high and that fast out of the ballpark, because Bobby Wood Jr. is different. And I understand the idea that people are like, it's just a high fastball. That thing was coming 98 miles an hour, and it was like a foot above the zone, and he took it out to left center. Most baseball players can't do that.
Yeah, no business hitting that home run, frankly.
No,
like, he had no business hitting that home run, but
I
yet,
can't believe
yet
you made
he
contact.
Did. And yet he did. And so a much-needed win, once again, lowers the blood pressure of everybody in Kansas City. You know, that's the one thing they've done the entire year. Whether it was Cole Reagans or at the time when Seth Lugo was pitching at an even higher level and Brady Singer wasn't in this little bit of a lull that he's in, they had multiple guys in the rotation that can stop a two or three game losing streak from becoming four, five, six. That's why they're in the spot they are in this year. They have stoppers. The last 2 weeks or week, I guess it has been Cole Reagans, but
yes,
throughout the entire year, they've had multiple stoppers that have allowed them not to have this trickle out to a really long losing streak when everything for a couple days goes wrong, when you're not getting great pitching, when you're not getting Vinny Pasquantino and Salvi and Bobby Witt. And it's very rare you're going to get everybody hitting at once. But yesterday, your two best players, let's just call it like it is. I know Salvador Perez has looked like that at times. But to me, your two best players,
your best pitcher and your best position player,
stepped up yesterday. That's what you need. That's what you hope. And an off day before the Royals pick back up tomorrow.
And Vinny Pasquantino, who was in an 20, came through with a big RBI. The normal amount of their good players gave them the win. And then they're just right back where they were. And the Red Sox play tonight, and they start a four-game series against Baltimore. Certainly not an easy series for them. You don't really know which way it's going to go. But the same point is, like, don't panic over a three-game stretch. And which I told you, that's the worst version of the Royals, where Vinny and Hunter Renfro and Bobby Wood Jr. don't hit enough, and your starting pitchers get clubbed. You're going to look awful in almost any situation. You're going to think that that's not a very good baseball team. It's just not the truth of what they've been a huge majority of the season. This is another one, like, we can go back months now. Maybe the single biggest, like, outside the box, let's take players out of it, right? I'm just trying to tell you a reason why the Royals have been maintaining the playoff spot the way they have. This team refuses to go on a long losing streak. They never let it turn into something else. Got their ass kicked two games in a row. Could easily let that turn into a four or five game skid, did they? No, Cole Reagans stepped up to the bump. All three of their starters will not be that bad for that many games in a row. They will always stop the bleeding. That's been something we've talked about since, I don't know, June 1st? How long have we been mentioning that in conversation?
Yeah, it's been quite some time, and we'll talk a little more Royals baseball coming up later on this hour. We're 20 minutes away from some new updates on where could the Royals and the Chiefs be playing post-2031 with the stadium conversations. There was one update on that from a local outlet, and then what perhaps the mayor's idea could be. The mayor is going to be on with CDOT and Rob this afternoon on The Drive, so you want to listen to that here on 96.5 The Fan. There was a name, though, that I have not mentioned in a long time, and I thought we were kind of just done with hearing his name, and I'm not going to bring back everything from the past, but it reminds me of why there's been a lot of frustration. So we know Jim Harbaugh is the head coach now out in LA with the Chargers. We know his starting quarterback currently is hurt. Justin Herbert may or may not be ready for week one. We shall see. I think the Chargers are at least a year away, from actually being a factor in the AFC West. So there was a story yesterday that comes out that Jim Harbaugh had reached out to Colin Kaepernick. No, not to play quarterback. Don't worry. Even though he probably thinks he can still play quarterback at 36 or whatever he is now. But to be a member of the coaching staff. You say, well, okay, that's a nice gesture. You offer Kaepernick a chance to get in the NFL with being on the staff, and maybe that's a path he can go.
Yeah.
Reportedly, though, Kaepernick hasn't even got back to Jim Harbaugh. The reason why I bring this up today is, look, this is the problem I think a lot of people have had. Not to go back to 2016, 2017, time frame and where we are. And I was actually supportive of him back in 2016, 17. But post that, the idea that he actually wants a job. No, I don't think Cody, he prefers being the martyr instead and acting as if he is being blackballed still to this day for everything. This isn't even playing. This is a head coach offering you a coaching staff job and you haven't even returned the call. I think if he returns the call and takes the job, he knows he becomes even more irrelevant than what he already has become.
He doesn't. Okay, I do think there was a time in which, and I'm with you, I do think the league kind of screwed him. The league did, because at the time and the politics of it and all of it, he essentially got blacklisted from the league without fully getting blacklisted. Do I think if he was as talented as Tom Brady, he would have gotten blacklisted? No. No, I think there's a level of talent before the league will just tell you to kick rocks, and I think he was in that middle level where they'll say, we'll take the risk. But now there's no excuse. Every time he's promoting something, he shows up. He's like, I'd still play. You're like, you can't. That's not an option anymore. I didn't think Deshaun Watson could play after sitting out for 2 years. I certainly don't think you could play after 7. And Harbaugh mentioned that he offered them the job in January, and it's August, means he was never taking that job. He didn't even hit him with a text back like, nah, thanks, coach. At least Bill Belichick offered, Kyle Shanahan. Bill Belichick at least told Kyle Shanahan, thanks, but no thanks. I'm just going to go do the TV thing. So at this point, just stop trying to be around the league. Do other things. You can have your hands in other pots. You can do other things. You don't want to be in the league because no one's going to let you play anymore. That's crazy. That's been way too long gone. And now you're being offered a chance to mentor other coaches in some other way. And you're saying, I'm fine.
He did say he was.
Bold move by Harbaugh, by the way. He's got enough things going on between everything else. He's going to try to bring it. I mean, that's a media mess. If you're Harbaugh, I would not recommend that if I were Harbaugh for a brand new coach with enough pressure on them with Herbert and everything else anyway.
Yeah, Kaepernick said he wants to play for the Olympic team maybe in flag football 2028 in LA. 40? He'll be 40 at that point in time. I doubt that actually happens as well. That's what I'm saying, though. He'll put out a lot of things like this. This is where the frustration has increased, and yet you'll never accept the opportunity either. He would rather at this point in his life just be out there not doing anything, but still claiming that he's not being allowed to do anything. Like, that's a better spot for him personally versus him just taking a job like a normal person that was offered to you and moving on with your life. He would rather still lean into everything else at this point. That's his game plan. That's the brand he has built now. And this is coming from somebody that was supportive many, many, many years ago. But now it's just annoying.
Well, because it didn't make sense before. He was the starting quarterback of a Super Bowl contending team, and then he couldn't get in the league anymore. It just fundamentally did not make sense. Now it does. I mean, now it makes all the sense in the world. And they're still offering you a chance to get back in. But coaching's a grind, and that's not the, and that's fine. If you don't want to do it, just say no thanks. Harbaugh, though, why he bring it up? What goodwill is Harbaugh trying? I did this. To what point is his invitation in that situation media worthy for him? Why is
they have a connection. He was the head coach in San Francisco at the time when Colin Kaepernick was there, right? I mean, that's the connection. That was his quarterback then. So he's probably just trying to do his guy a solid at this point in time. And I bet you he's not all that surprised he hasn't heard back. But think about that. You're a head football coach in the NFL at the time when you were having success that went to bat for
you. That'd be the perfect person to go.
Alex Smith for you is now saying, hey, let me do you a solid. Why don't you join me on my coaching staff? And you won't even respond back to him. And he texted you in January, reportedly.
You never know what could happen. Don't you remember during COVID year when the Broncos tried to, instead of starting Kendall Hinton, I don't know if anybody remembers this story. Instead of starting Kendall Hinton, they wanted to start their quarterback's coach, who was like a college quarterback. They wanted to start him instead of an active player on the roster. And the league's like, you can't just start a coach. You can't just put him on your roster and let him play quarterback in the NFL. So they had to start Hinton instead, who completed, I think, one pass or whatever. That was a weird, weird time. Like Harbaugh, he's probably just doing solid by his guys, but unless you're already, and he is, a successful coach in some regard, certainly in the college level, why risk it? Like, Harbaugh's got enough things on his plate to go right. He's got to get past Mahomes. He's got to get the Chargers to the playoffs. He's got to figure out how to get Herbert into important games and actually win those important games. You really need that on your plate, too?
And I think he has a quarterback in Herbert this year that even if he only misses week one, is he playing in the other 16 games? I'm not so sure. It sounds like that plantar, fascia injury that Herbert has is something that all of a sudden things are good for a month and then suddenly he's got some issues again. It doesn't feel like something at that position in particular that's just going to go away. So yeah, you're right. He's got bigger problems. I think Kaepernick has no interest in actually accepting anything. He would rather just continue to have people somehow talk about him in some form or fashion as being the guy that doesn't have a job. So thought that was interesting last night when that news came out from USA Today and from LA with the Chargers organization. Back here in Kansas City, though, we know today's the last day of training camp for the Chiefs, and it's a very short practice. It ended already. I mean, this was the military appreciation day.
This is why we didn't go out, if we're being honest.
Well, just because it was going to be a really short practice, yeah. And they spend a bulk of their time, as they should, afterwards mingling, signing autographs with those that serve our country. And so it's a really good thing the Chiefs do at the end of training camp. And now you got a preseason game on Saturday. And Chris Jones, who hasn't practiced a whole lot in the last week or so anyway, I think we all kind of figured that was going to be the case once you had a little bit of a shoulder thing. You're a veteran. You missed all camp last year and it didn't impact you whatsoever.
Didn't practice today, though. I still think he's just doing the slow walk to get out of St. Joe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think this is all by design. You. But did you see his tweet? Chris Jones responded to a story we almost got to a few days ago during Trash of the Day, and it had to do with this lady that got convicted of stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings from a school.
Over a two-year time period?
Yeah, and she's now serving a 9-year prison sentence for a role in a massive food theft operation. So she's 68 years old. She is this mastermind of a scheme that allegedly saw, I don't want to say allegedly anymore, swipe a staggering $1.5 million worth of food, mostly chicken wings, over a two-year period. She would place separate orders for the wings throughout the school district's food provider under the guise that it was for normal school operations.
This she got all, busted because she was ordering bone-in wings.
Yes. So this all went down between July of 2020 and February of 22 when the schools were closed due to the pandemic, yet the food orders continued. And it wasn't that they were unusual dollar amount of food orders. It's the fact that they don't order the bone-in wings for the children. They're supposed to be boneless for the school. And that's how she got caught. But she's in prison for it. And Chris Jones tweeted out, quote, "I'll pay for the wings that she stole to get her free."
I think this is how the legal system should work
for
super wealthy people. What? For people like that, I think this is exact. I think Chris Jones should be allowed to pay the $1.5 million to the school district. And I think this woman should get to go free.
That's not how this works, though.
I think it's how it should work in this case.
I don't get to go steal a couple Ferraris and then like, oh, I got caught. And then rich friend says, well, I'll pay for the damage.
Rich friends pay for Ferraris?
In this hypothetical, I definitely do. Then everything's good. It doesn't work. I can't go rob a bank like, oh, I got caught. I'm sorry. I'll just give it all back. I promise. It doesn't work that way.
Okay, first, we're talking about different things. I mean, robbing a bank, that's a much...
she stole money from taxpayers. That was tax for school. That was money schools from taxpayer money was being used.
Well, she's giving it back. Well, Chris Jones is giving it back. Times were hard. It's just, you know what it is? They're just chicken wings. You know?
It's not about the food.
It's just a chicken. What am I? I'm going to send this woman to jail for 10 years over some chicken wings. Just let Chris Jones pay the $1.5 million and let her be free.
You're acting like she stole a single wing from a Buffalo Wild Wings and didn't pay.
In that case, I don't think she should go to jail.
I would agree. I would agree.
I would like to think.
But she stole $1.5 million worth of wings, and she did this over 2 years.
Inflation, that's probably 3 dozen wings. I mean, let's just be honest. What's the number?
This was not an accident. She did it over 2 years, man. Like, I appreciate you trying to be very sentimental to this, but sympathetic, I'm sorry, to this, but nah. Not at all, man.
You think this one should just have to stay in jail forever over some chicken wings?
I don't know about the exact sentence length, if that's normal. If 9 years is what it should be, that I'll leave up to...
For stealing $1.5 million, I can't say for
sure. I'll leave that up to somebody else. But no, there's consequences to committing fraud and schemes and stealing from taxpayers.
How about she only has to go to jail for like 4 years now if he pays $1.5 million? They get all the money back.
I don't know. Maybe she can. I have no idea what the sentence
was.
9 years
seems long. Someone says stealing is wrong unless it's for this tasty chicken. That's not what I'm saying. Obviously, generally speaking, I'm just, People have done much worse than this and not gone to jail. And Chris Jones is offering to just help this woman out. He's just trying to help somebody out in a hard time. He's not saying she didn't do it. He's just saying, I'll cover her financial loss.
But why would she get to be free then? Like, it's good if he wants to cover the financial loss to help the school district that lost the money they're never getting back. That would be amazing.
Well, that's the only victim. The victim is the school district who paid $1.5 million. But they're victimless once they have their $1.5 million. What if he rounds it up to two? Little back pay. Then we're square? Who's the victim in the stolen chicken wings?
So you think
the distributor who sold them is happy they sold the $1.5 million of chicken wings. The people who eventually got the chicken wings are happy about having them. Just the school district. He's saying, here's your money, school district. Well, problem solved.
So you think, though, that any Ponzi scheme that's currently going on out there right now, let's say they defraud anybody.
Their problem is they don't have the money at the end of the Ponzi scheme.
$10 million. You're telling me if anybody has a nice donor that wants to keep them out of jail and say, whoops, my fault, I'll pay you back. You think there should be no consequences?
If you are a lunch lady at a school, yeah. I mean, if you're a guy who's living in you're taking private jets all over the country, vibe's a little different. She's just a woman who worked in a school district.
For 2 years, and she knew what she was doing.
I mean, she definitely knew she was stealing those wings. Someone said Chris would literally be giving away his entire sack bonus he worked so hard for last year.
Okay, props for Chris Jones trying to help, but props to him for trying to help, but it doesn't work that way, man.
Now I just get the text line from the 816, Gil Mesh robbed the Royals, and he's free. He actually
gave
some
money
of that,
back.
And look, he's free because of it. That's the why he's free.
He gave money back.
But it's also why I don't care that Gilmesh got the contract he got, because he got overpaid for the production he got for the Royals. But I've still never seen a player just be like, you know what? I don't want this $11 million. I'll see you all later. You're like, what? What do you mean? You could just kind of show up and get it. He's like, I'm good. It was enough. I've had enough.
913-586-7965. That's the text line here on 96.5 The Fan. So if someone says, friendly neighborhood lawyer here, most of these sentences also do include a very large restitution payment. She probably has to pay the money back in addition.
Yeah, but she's never going to be able to pay that back.
I understand.
She's going to be a convicted felon. She's going to be spending the next... She's never paying that money back.
I agree.
In this case, they actually get the money.
Yeah.
Saying, pay us back. That $1.5 million, you're never going to get it.
But I think the texter, saying that... That both, like, that in this scenario, if Chris Jones actually paid, great, but you still have to serve the time on top of it. It's not like, hey, write us a check or prison time. You don't get to when they're.
I bet sometimes it works that way.
The judge sentencing is not saying either or. Maybe it reduces the sentence, but it's probably not an either or scenario.
I think sometimes it does work that way. Now, look, this is probably just based on my knowledge of, like, I don't know, watching Better Call Saul or something. But I think sometimes
that's a great example.
Give us the money, and I think it's less of a prison sentence sometime. And she probably didn't have the $1.5 million on hand. You know, Chris Jones is offering to have the money on hand. From the 816, I hope she fries those wings. You know, it's fine. How much of those do you think she ate personally versus just like sold?
I don't think she ate any of them. I think she sold all of them. I don't think she was eating these.
You keep some for yourself? Just a little bit?
Sure.
Like a box, you know?
Okay, fine.
A box,
but my guess is...
3-4 dozen, you know?
You know, it was $1.5 million. She didn't have those, and she didn't have storage to just keep all of those.
From the 816, Cody's spending the first half hour of new listeners to argue that a lunch lady should be absolved of stealing $1 million.
That's right.
Chicken.
Welcome to Cody and Gold.
I'd like to set the audience up for what the real expectations of what this show is. And this show argues about things like Chris Jones should be allowed to get a lady out of jail if he pays for her stolen chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much practically Chiefs talk.
It is 96.5 The Fan, your new home for Kansas City sports. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're just getting started here on a Thursday. Up next, though, where could the Royals and Chiefs play in the future? We got a new update on that. We'll tell you what it is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Next. Back here, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up a little bit later on today, we saw our guy, actually, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, walking by. He's going to join us at 12:30. He's in early.
Is he still going to be here?
He's in early. My guess
I believe he will still be here from what he told me yesterday in the pregame show.
He's having a two-hour meeting building?
He may be in studio for the segment. I believe he is.
Is everything okay?
It's an off day for the Royals, so, you know, maybe he's got meetings, work out. Home
off
stretch of the season.
Off days were precious to me when I was the Royals insider. That you only get, like, 15 of them over the course of 5 months.
Hey man, new station today. The Royals are in a playoff push. You know, there's no days off.
You're home of the Royals. 96.5 The Fan. You're home of the Chiefs. 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget this weekend, all of those games will be right here. New text line number, new phone line number for those asking, 913-586-7965.
So we're going to get to the stadium stuff in just a second. Also, a reminder a little bit later on this half hour, for those that are tuning in for the first time, Cody is going to be teaching classes at UMKC.
That's accurate.
Which I know, that's jarring after the last conversation we just had. I know, it's very jarring.
I'm not teaching legal ethics.
But we will get to an update on that. You have a question for us, I'm told.
I do.
And I have no idea what question you have. We'll try to help you, I guess.
I'm trying to become the best possible version. I actually have two incidents coming up that I need some advice on.
Okay.
I'm trying to become the best possible version of a college-level teacher I can be. So I'll take that to the audience.
Okay.
People who assume went to college or school in some fashion. I don't care if you're in high school, college, middle school. You had a teacher.
So that's coming up a little bit later on this half hour on 96.5 The Fan. But the stadium conversation for the Royals and Chiefs, we know it's ongoing. We've heard different comments over the last couple of weeks during training camp that perhaps the Chiefs' timeline is by the end of the year. The Royals have been much more quiet. There was an update, though, from Sam McDowell over at the Kansas City Star, and it had to do with a site that had previously not publicly been mentioned. It is downtown for the Royals, but it would be in that Washington Square Park area, which sits north of Crown Center. and east of Union Station. That's the location. Now, first time I heard that and first time I read, I was like, well, that's actually kind of exciting because this would truly give you, at least in what, left field, a downtown skyline. And that was one of many complaints with the prior plans for where the Royals could play post-Kauffman Stadium. The one thing we know definitively is that once the lease is up, the Royals are not playing at Kauffman. After that, we don't know where they're playing. But whether it was the East Village site, whether it was the Crossroads site, none of those had a true downtown skyline just because of, you can't have it facing the sun and things like that and the way the downtown is set up. But this particular site near Crown Center, near Union Station, you could have it set up and angled to where left field had a little bit of that downtown skyline, which would excite me. So this location near Crown Center, Union Station, you have hotels, you have the aquarium. All that sounds great. Can it fit there? Other than the financial stuff, yeah, which we'll get to. Does it actually fit? It's interesting because this week, the Royals were playing in Minnesota. We know they just wrapped up a series. Their stadium, I caught this on the Twins broadcast, is the smallest footprint in all of Major League Baseball. So the Twins are downtown. Their stadium was built in 2010. It's the smallest footprint. This site that is mentioned in the reporting from Sam McDowell would be a very small footprint, you would think, based on what we know about the area.
It seems to me that every time we hear about this Royals project, it gets smaller than the original thought. Like, they slowly encompass it more around businesses that already exist versus what was the original plan, which was the Battery. And they were going to go out and they were going to build all their own stuff around it in their own development. And now it's like some of their own development, but a lot of it will just coexist with the things that already exist. Overall, I love the idea. The general area is what I still want. I want something in or near downtown. That's what this accomplishes. In an area that people are already familiar with, could continue to use some more development, and already has some of the built-in infrastructure you'd want. There are already some hotels and some shops and some businesses. So the second the stadium was up, you could operate. The streetcar already goes there. I like that the public transit hits that particular area. The most fascinating part is whether or not Quentin Lucas can actually do what he says. Because what he says he can do is pass this thing without going to the people. No more public vote, because that last one was embarrassing. Right? It was embarrassing. And so they're trying to avoid that as much as possible and instead charge the people who go to the district the taxes the same. The star bond would have worked essentially if they had taken the Royals or the Chiefs, or still do, over to the Kansas side. If he can actually accomplish that, it is the best way to get the job done.
So the mayor's going to be on with the drive this afternoon. He'll be on with CDOT and Rob. Now, you say it's the best way to do it. I'm sure there's people listening there saying, well, the best way for who? Right? If we're all play the other side for a second on that, you're right. To get the project done, avoiding a public vote, like, just if we're just talking about completion of said project, avoiding a public vote, yes, you are right. That is the, air quote, best way to do it. If you're someone that is skeptical about the project, or anybody that voted no on the prior plan, which was a mess for a variety of reasons that had the Chiefs and Royals tied together, that was, yes, a countywide 3/8 cent sales tax extension versus what it sounds like the mayor would believe in happening, he's prepared perhaps to offer a financial structure that bypasses that extension, therefore bypassing a vote. Because I know there's people listening saying, BS on that. They don't like the public not having a say. Now, will the pushback be...
it's a fair argument.
As I'm saying, will the public have as much of an issue if they find out, though, that it is not a extension of a sales tax, that it is going to be, if you're in that district, in that stadium, et cetera, that's where the money's going. Does the city, do the numbers work out? Like, it's great to say you would like that, but we don't even, this is a proposed site. It's still early in that process. We don't know what the dollar amount is for said stadium. And so even a bypass of the vote, is there enough money to be raised via what he perhaps wants to do to cover all the costs plus whatever the team is willing to contribute?
Because of the size of the tax base, my answer is yes. It's bigger than Wyandotte County. They were going to do that. So you would have more people in the county hypothetically visiting the area. It's an already established area, so probably is my guess. If you're making me rank them, so here's the thing, though. It's like, if you're making me rank every plan we've seen that seems to have some teeth, because there was some reporting from Todd Palmer and others yesterday that said, not only do they like this idea, that some people were suggesting, at least to him, that this could move relatively quickly. Now, we've heard that before, and it didn't go down like that, so we'll see. But if it were to move relatively quickly, on the ranking of plans I liked the least, Probably the one they did the most recent, the one they actually voted on, I like the location the least. Now, we never saw a true rendering for the East Village site. I liked that site better. I liked the Clay County plan better than the one by Sprint Center, but I like this one. Sprint Center still last. This is a better plan than the last one they gave me. I like the location better. You displace less businesses. You don't have to take it to a public vote. It impacts less people in Jackson County who maybe, it hypothetically, everybody pays for it in this notion. Like, Gold, if you go to the stadium, you help us pay for the stadium. That overall seems like a better plan. The problem is how can you actually?
Right. I mean, I almost wouldn't even call it a plan at this point. Like
theory.
All it is a report from the Star that says the Royals are studying the viability, along with the city, perhaps, of this Washington Park, location near Crown Center in Union Station. That's it. So it's hard for me to say, like, oh, I like the location. I'll leave it at that. Like,
I like the plan to pay for it. If the plan works,
we have no idea what the cost of the project is. We don't know what potentially the stadium could look like. The actual site, that intrigues me. The plan of not having a vote. Look, if you just want it done and to be over with, then I guess you like that. I typically believe the public should have an opportunity on any issue to vote, whether we were talking about
but on the Kansas side, they weren't gonna.
That's the argument that he's making, right? That's the argument that he's making, is that that's something that they would mimic. And so what's the difference? It hasn't faced as much pushback in Kansas versus a public vote. Again, I'm not arguing what is more likely to just get done. Of course, bypassing the public vote makes it more likely. I'm just saying, like, I understand the other side of this one, which is typically I believe the public should have a say and voting for a project that involves taxpayer money, but this would be a little bit different than the 3/8 cent sales tax extension.
I think the reason why it's getting a different vibe on what you're talking about versus the Kansas side is the public had a chance and they were like, pass. So then bypassing them seems like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We, the public, have told you not interested, and now you're just going to go behind our back? Kansas side, there's nothing. Like, for all we know, if it went to a public vote, Kansas would shoot it down. But we don't know that, Gold. So, like, bypassing the public doesn't seem like you're going against their will. In this case, it seems like you're going against their will because they voted once and it was not favorable.
Once again, the mayor's going to be on with CDOT this afternoon. I'll read this quote, though, from the Star article. This is Mayor Quentin Lucas to the Star. Quote, I think what I took from the vote, and frankly, what I learned from the Star bond conversations in Kansas, is that maybe the challenge the voters were issuing to us in Jackson County was to say there are other taxes, redirection, and other things that can facilitate a good stadium project. So the people paying for the stadium are the people who are going to the stadium. That's your argument as well. That's what he would argue.
It's a decent argument.
We shall see how that plays out and what this means for potential sites. The one thing that has been very evident, though, based off of the state of Missouri, whether it's Chiefs or Royals and their contributions, is they want to know before the end of the year what they might be on the hook for or asked to be on the hook for. And I think in the same article, Governor Parson, who's out of office in January, his term limited and everything before new regime takes over, he has said, like, I can't even really help them yet because I don't know what they need yet.
I don't know what they want. And the other two, some of the other big gubernatorial candidates did not seem super in favor of giving public money to pro sports teams. Now, you might say that in an election cycle, and then when you get voted in, maybe you don't feel the same way.
No, but the nominee in the primary we just had is the lieutenant governor of the current governor, and so he's been supported. That was actually, if you're someone that wanted to keep the Chiefs or Royals,
that was
good news.
So we'll see which way it goes. But again, you can't, I don't mind the, if it works the way the Star bonds work, then it's supposed to work in the sense that if you come down here and you spend your money here, you're paying for it. That doesn't, if you're going, now, other than the utopian society that you and I have agreed, it is not going to happen in this case. Not that it should happen, will not happen in this case, which is John Sherman just buys his building. This is a better scenario than let's make just Jackson County pay for something the entire city gets to enjoy. Clay, Wyandotte, Johnson, doesn't matter which other county you're in, you get to enjoy it. So in this case, you come down here, you pay a little bit for it. Doesn't seem that crazy to me.
Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to a question Cody has for us as he's beginning in a week or two to teach a class.
On Monday. I teach on Monday.
At UMKC. I
don't have lesson plan one all wrapped up yet, but I'll figure that out.
We'll find out if the syllabus has been fixed and all that as well. But there was
some notes.
Some big news in the NFL yesterday afternoon involving rookie quarterback, top 10 pick, J.J. McCarthy of the Minnesota Vikings. He's done for the season. There was an update a day or two ago that, hey, they were going to go in for surgery and then determine the severity. Unfortunately, it was worst case. They have to fully repair, so he's out for the season. There's the obvious setback for someone's career when you lose any bit of development, even if he wasn't going to ever start week one for the Vikings, because I don't think he was. Sam Darnold, to me, was always going to start week one. The question would be, was J.J. McCarthy coming back in week six, week seven, week eight, or something? Well, now we know it's Sam Darnold's team the entire year, and it's pretty obvious to say with Darnold, this is it. This is his chance. He's got a great offensive-minded head coach in Kevin O'Connell. Justin Jefferson, the best, one of the best, if not the best receiver in football. Jordan Addison got hurt at practice yesterday, but he should have
Jordan Addison. They said it was mild.
You've got TJ Hockenson, right, still there in Minnesota.
It's almost as good as the situation Caleb Williams is walking to. I would actually argue as good, if not better, because I like the offensive head coach in Minnesota significantly more than I like Eberflus. So let's say there are maybe an extra weapon in Chicago for Caleb Williams. His coaching situation is way worse than Minnesota. First, this stinks for J.J. McCarthy, because while this does not end his career or stop his career, this is a really hard way to start a career and then for it to go well moving forward. Losing your entire rookie season to an injury at quarterback, where you don't even get the benefit gold of taking some of these practice reps that Mahomes would get his entire rookie year. And I know you can still sit in a meeting and understand conceptually how the offense works, but you don't get to put it in practice at all. You don't get to get into a week 12 game when maybe they're done with Darnold or moved on to that. Darnold, however, he can get himself Baker Mayfield. He can get himself paid. He can go find a new team to go be the starting quarterback of 7 years after he was a highly drafted pick, because if the weapons around him are good, career resurrected. Like, he's good this year, he's getting a check. That's it. From somebody, right?
No, if he has the type of season they hope he has with all the weapons, he absolutely will be a starter for somebody next year, if that's the case. J.J. McCarthy, though, anybody predicting what this means for his career, they're guessing, because he's the first rookie quarterback since the Common Draft back in 1967 to be selected in the first round, not just a top 10 pick, but to miss an entire rookie season. Damn. Other first round quarterbacks have sat out a year. We know that Jordan Love sat behind Aaron Rodgers. That's one thing. It's not that you're not starting. It's the fact that you're not even able to practice all year. When Love sits out or Mahomes sits out behind Alex Smith his rookie year, yeah, he's not starting, but he's learning.
He's practicing.
McCarthy can do none of that till what? Like February?
And it's because again, if it was like he had to have shoulder surgery in his non-throwing arm, he could still run, or, you know, there's things you could do. It's his knee. That's it. It's all she wrote for the season. He's just going to be spending his time rehabbing. I think the more fascinating story, because he'll be one of the biggest stories going into the year next year. Can a guy who misses his entire year become the starter, because that would still be the idea, or do you sit him another year and waste cost control and all these other things we talk about with rookie quarterbacks? I just want to find out if Sam Darnold could resurrect his career.
Would McCarthy be eligible, Drew, for comeback player of the year next year? He never played a snap in the NFL.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he?
Comeback player of the year. We talked about this.
But
rookie of the year? So like baseball, where he could, in baseball, he would be eligible for rookie of the year. I don't know.
In the NFL, I don't think they let you do that. I don't think you can get hurt and then, because like then by, yeah, I don't think it works that way.
Not in the NFL.
In baseball, it's like a number of games you played. Like technically in baseball, Patrick Mahomes would have been eligible for rookie of the year, his second year in the league. He would have won it.
Correct.
He won MVP. It didn't matter. But, you know, he would have been eligible. No, I don't think he is. So comeback player of the year, sure.
So you could win comeback player of the year.
Which makes no sense. If he's just good, he wins comeback player of the year.
Yeah, he's come back from an ACL or MCL injury.
We don't have to get back into the semantics of whether or not comeback player of the year should
be. They changed it.
From stinking or from being hurt. Because they did finally change it. Yeah.
Which is a good, very, very good thing.
If you stink, yeah, you shouldn't.
I don't think it matters. I think if you come back, I don't think it matters what you come back from. I didn't care before. People always got so hung up on that. I was like, well, you came back from being awful? I'm like, yeah.
But in a weird way,
that's coming back from more than just being hurt.
But those that vote on it disagreed with that. The new language this year is that if you have to face adversity, overcome illness, physical injury, and then this is the gray area, or other circumstances that led him to miss playing time.
Like you went to jail?
Yes. For selling a bunch of chicken wings.
In your instance, Chris Jones bailed you out, now you're back in the league.
Yeah.
Cody, in your instance, it would be bounce back player of the year is what it would be if you sucked then you were better.
To me, it's the bounce back. Like, I don't think it's more impressive that a guy came back from a torn ACL, a very common injury in the NFL that people come back from all the time, than Baker Mayfield came back from obscurity. He just, yeah, man, couldn't be in the league.
The argument's the adversity part. Like, yeah, yes, you can.
That is adversity.
But that's not what they, that's not the spirit of the rule, you know, the spirit of the award.
I didn't care before. They can change it now. It's fine.
All right, so you're teaching on Monday, day one of class.
Day one.
For those that are just listening to 96.5 The Fan, obviously first time today, and then maybe first time listening to the show.
I'm a professor at UMKC.
Cody
now
is a professor this Monday for a class that meets once a week for 3 hours?
2 hours and 45 minutes.
Okay, okay. 2 hours and 45. Yeah. Are you going to go the full 2:45?
No chance.
Okay.
Let's just establish.
So what's the issue? What's the question with this class?
I have two questions because I'd like to do a good job teaching this class at UMKC, and I feel like they're throwing a lot of stuff at me that I don't fully understand. Seems not great for a person who's going to teach 300-level college students. Like, I don't know, 14 of my kids are like juniors or seniors. So they've been at this college thing for a minute. I do have one freshman. I feel terrible for that person. They're going to have to figure
it
out.
In a 300-level class?
That's good for them. Good for
them.
In
the roster, it says freshman.
I want to know how many students drop out of your class after the first week or two.
Probably like five. They have to pay me the same either way, so it's fine. There are
you
two,
don't believe in yourself.
You know what? Things change. There are two questions I have that I need answered by the listeners because I don't think I can figure it out just by myself, and I don't know enough other teachers to ask the question. One, I currently, for my class, have zero quizzes or tests scheduled at all. Am I allowed to teach a class? Did you ever take a class that literally never had a single test?
Yes.
Or do
yes.
I need to have tests?
You don't have to because your course is more, it's
practical.
It's project-based. It's hands-on. It's you're teaching podcasting and audio in media, right? You don't have to have quizzes
there.
And tests. No, I think you're fine without having that.
Do you say I'm fine there?
Yes.
Second question. I have a student email me yesterday.
Already?
My class, yeah, already. I have a student email me yesterday. They are a full-time, they work full-time in a teaching capacity somewhere else. And they said, based on their current role and their teaching role, they can't make it to my class until 4:30 every time we host it.
So.
And then said, you don't have to bend over for me, but is there a way for...
Get that drop safe. Thank you. Go ahead.
Is there a way for me to just show up every week at 4:30 and that be okay without being dinged as a student? Should I allow one student to show up a half hour late every class for the entire semester? Tougher one.
Well,
first one, you said no quizzes, not a problem.
Yeah, tougher one because this individual is working their ass off to put themselves through school and all of that.
Part of me wants to be like, you know, I get it.
But
like, I worked full-time the entire time I was in school. I could understand wanting a little leniency here.
I think half hour is the limit, though. I think half hour, yes. But after that, I think it becomes a problem. The issue is you're not teaching a huge lecture class with 500 people. You wouldn't care.
I wouldn't even notice.
You wouldn't even notice. The problem is there's, 15 people in this class, and someone walks. You know, like they just walk in the back of the room, no disturbance, and they're only a half hour late. I think you're good.
Do I settle for hey, can you make it 15 minutes? You know, is there a way to get this time down a little bit? Can you work with your employer to shrink this time a little? Half hour's a long time.
Yeah, follow back up and see if they can, you know, does it have to be, are you sure there's no way you can't do this every few classes? It has to be every class.
The only thing that I would be slightly worried about, and this is not because I would do this, but if I was a student in the class and this one person shows up late every single day or every single class and there's not necessarily a problem with it, maybe me going and getting a Starbucks and being a few minutes late actually isn't a problem.
This is my fear.
10 minutes late.
What he's describing is my fear. You know this about me. I hate people who can't be on time. I hate you. I don't understand. You refuse to do a common courtesy thing, which is just leave earlier. And people are like, well, I have kids. I have two young kids, and I'm not late anywhere, ever, under any circumstances.
Yeah, but we've gone back and forth on that whole thing. Like, that's not the norm always. I hate people that are late, but the whole kid thing, bleep happens when you have kids. But go ahead.
But an occasional thing, it's fine. My fear is that if I set a precedent, this person is allowed to be late a half an hour to every class in perpetuity. Are the other kids just going to start showing up 10 minutes late because who cares?
But they're all adults. Like, if that's going to impact
their... You're saying they're paying it, so who cares? I just teach it for...
They're adults. UBU? If they miss class and they miss something that you are teaching them, it is on them to figure that out, right? Like, there are consequences, but they're adults. If this was a high school class, of course you would not accept 30 minutes late to your class every day.
You could,
but it just wouldn't work. It doesn't work. But in college, like, hey, if they want to miss a class or whatever, there are consequences to that in terms of their own learning and future project success.
I had a professor who, at the very beginning of the year, like first class, said, you or your parents are paying for this class, not me. If you show up late, that's on you. I will not stop for a split second when you walk in the door if it's 10 minutes late, if it's 5 minutes late. You miss anything, I'm going, and it's on you to figure out the rest of it. I'm not helping you at all.
That makes me sound like I don't want to come in there sounding like that guy sounds like kind of a jerk.
Well, there'd be times where people would show up like 10 minutes late. They'd open up the door and just come and sit down. And sure enough, there is not a split second where that professor stopped talking, stopping going through the PowerPoint, anything like that. It's just full go.
I hate when someone says, is Cody going to be the cool professor cussing the whole time? I probably will cuss, but not on purpose. It's just who I am. I only stop it for this radio show 4 hours a day.
Can you please add one line to your syllabus for us?
Sure.
It's already way too long of a syllabus. Can you add one line that says, sign, basically have a line for them to sign. By taking this class and signing this form, you agree to be contacted by Cody and Drew, my co-host.
Wow. Alex and Drew. Not me.
Yeah, sorry.
They'll be contacted by me every day.
Yes. Maybe you as well after the class ends for a full review on your teaching skills.
Wow. So you want them to call agree to come on the air.
When they're done with the class, I want them to call into the show and give an honest opinion on your teaching. I do. I want that badly.
I do think that I'm going to put in that I would like them, they have to volunteer it. I would like them to allow us to play 90-second chunks of the podcast they do for this class to play on the air to be judged by the people.
I don't know if I even want to listen to that.
So are you saying, hold on.
90 seconds? Hang That's on. Nothing.
So are you saying that we're a part of your grading system?
Yes.
Because if so,
wow.
Then...
I don't think I'm allowed to do that.
We'll follow back up on this as your class at UMKC starts up on Monday. This is 96.5 The Fan, your new home for Kansas City sports. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. And up next, we get to the 11 o'clock hour. And one thing that gets lost in this dynasty conversation about the Chiefs, another sign of it. We'll tell you what that is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.